You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7:36 on this Monday, May 7th. We will welcome in political scientist and pollster Charles Franklin for this half of our State Capitol Report. We will take a look at the latest poll numbers leading up to tomorrow's primary election and some of the latest news in recall politics. And we'll welcome your questions and your calls, and especially if there is an issue that matters most to you in this recall election, the primary tomorrow, or the general for that matter. What is it and why? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Charles Franklin is a visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, where he directs the Marquette Law School Poll. He's also co-developer of pollsandvotes.com, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this latest poll, just released late last week, shows that this, first of all, for the primary, it shows that Tom Barrett has a double-digit lead over any of his Democratic challengers.
That's right. Our poll showed Barrett ahead 38-21 over Kathleen Falk, with Doug LaFollette at 8 and Kathleen Vinehout at 6. That was up considerably from the 7-point Barrett lead in our March poll, but that March poll was taken the week before Barrett officially entered the race. There have been two publicly released Democratic-leaning polls in the interim. They showed a 14-point Barrett lead. So that's sort of the public polling that's been released as far as I know so far.
Yeah.
The Falk campaign says their polling shows a closer race, and we'll find out what the voters think tomorrow when they go to the polls.
Yeah, and you also did, though, query your poll respondents about issues. What did you find in terms of what issues are most important to voters?
Well, for Democratic primary voters, we asked them what is the most important characteristic for a candidate to have for the Democratic nominee, and overwhelmingly they picked creating jobs by 46%, a very large number. 25% said someone who could defeat Scott Walker. 14% said someone who could reduce divisiveness in the state. And 12% picked restoring collective bargaining rights. We followed that up with some questions. It's clear that Democratic primary voters, by something close to two-thirds, would like to see collective bargaining rights restored. But in terms of the priorities, creating jobs finished a very strong first place.
Ah, all right. So have the Democratic candidates, in your view, following this race, detailed clear plans for creating jobs?
Well, I think they've certainly started to raise the issue and push it. We've seen some discussion of collective bargaining. We've certainly saw some direct discussion of how to go about doing that, whether through a budget veto or a special session of the legislature. We've seen some advertising about who has stood with the protesters and pushed for restoration. But I think in a lot of recent advertising in particular, and a good deal of discussion, we've seen more and more of a focus on jobs and criticisms of Governor Walker's jobs record. And interestingly, you've also seen that on Governor Walker's commercials, where he emphasizes the decline in the unemployment rate, which has come down, whereas Democrats focus on the loss of actual numbers of jobs, which has also come down. Mm-hmm. And so that's the place at which jobs becomes a political debate and not just an economic debate, is which side has the more persuasive case there.
Then moving on post-primary to a direct matchup between Mayor Tom Barrett and Governor Walker, you said that this is as close to a tie as you could possibly get. What did you find?
Well, we saw in our full sample is registered voters, people who are either already registered to vote or assure us that they will register in time for the election. There we saw Tom Barrett ahead by 1 point, 47-46. But if we ask voters how certain they are to vote, and we look at those who are the most likely to vote, then Walker goes ahead by 1 point, 48 to 47. And so which of these is right? The answer is both of them are well within the margin of error, which is 3.8 percentage points. But it also helps emphasize and illustrate how turnout could be critical in this election. If we really are essentially at a dead tie, a little more turnout, that's more like the registered voter result, and Barrett is one point ahead. A little less turnout, only the likely voters go to the polls, then Scott Walker is just ahead. I think it illustrates what both sides have been saying a good bit lately, which is turnout is key. With such a small percentage, just 5 or 4% saying they're undecided in the June election, differences in turnout can make a big difference. It's also worth noting that Kathleen Falk, who had closed to within 4 points in our previous month's poll, our March poll, has fallen back slightly to 7 points behind Walker among registered voter and closes that to 6 points among likely voters.
Who is undecided, Professor Franklin?
It's a very small sliver of the public. And in fact, it's so small that it's rather hard to study because there are just very few people. We've seen between 4% and 6% undecided over the 4 months that we've been polling on this. The most striking thing is it's people who are somewhat less involved in politics. They're less interested in politics. They're also less partisan, more likely to call themselves moderates. And those are not surprising that, especially I think if anyone looks around, highly partisan folks have definitely made up their minds at this point. And so it leaves a small sliver of undecideds who may yet be persuaded one way or another. But the very fact that that's a small sliver makes it clear why both parties have invested a lot in their get-out-the-vote efforts and no doubt will be trying to maximize turnout on June 5th.
If this election were today, though, based on these poll results, it's anyone's race.
I think it's a clear toss-up. Mm-hmm. Our data showed Walker ahead by 6 in January over Barrett. That closed to 2 points, rather, in March against Barrett. Now, 1 point either way, depending on how much turnout is, you couldn't get much closer than that. Things, you know, we've still got 4 weeks to go,
right,
so there's time for a shift there.
But I guess what I'm trying to zero in on is that these are the number, if, or maybe not. Maybe, are those 5% undecideds, are they going to decide?
Well, in the history of studies of voting behavior, one thing you discover is that people who are undecided late in a campaign often have some kind of psychological conflict about they like some things about one side or some things about the other. And often that leads to a reduction in their ultimate turnout. So it's also unclear how these undecided voters will finally decide whether or not to go to the polls, as well as how to vote. And again, that's why you can understand parties and campaigns put so much emphasis on getting out the people they've identified as their supporters. You get those folks to the polls and you're nearly guaranteed their vote. You get an undecided voter to the poll and maybe at best you've got a 50-50 coin toss.
You did ask about issues most important to the Democratic primary voter in the poll. What about for the general? Do we know what issues are most important to people?
I think that we didn't ask a similar what's the most important issue facing the primary. But what we see is some things are very stable since January. Big majorities oppose cuts to education and health care. Big majority still favors public employees paying more for their benefits. And I think on the jobs versus budget issue is one fairly instructive number or pair of numbers. We asked which party would do a better job of handling jobs in the state. Democrats had a small advantage there, 46% to 44%. On an issue that they're likely to drive. But the other issue that concerns voters is which party would do a better job of balancing the state budget. And there, Republicans have an advantage, 50 to 39. And I think if you just think of those themes, those are classic themes between Democrats and Republicans, where each party has the potential to take advantage of one of those issues rather than the other. It's up to the voters to decide by June which of those, along with the myriad of other issues, they will set as their top priority.
Well, I know that you are also going to be participating in our election night coverage tomorrow night, starting at 8 o'clock. Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, and Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television, also co-hosting this special, which, again, you can hear starting at 8 o'clock. What are you going to be looking for as those results trickle in tomorrow night, Professor Franklin?
I think mostly I'm going to be just waiting to see what the data look like. The kind of obvious things are, how does Kathleen Faulk do in the Dane County area? How does Mayor Barrett do in the Milwaukee area? Because those are their natural foundations. And then where does the balance tip in the rest of the state? The other thing is the turnout issue. The Government Accountability Board has been estimating 30 to 35% turnout, I believe, for tomorrow. What we saw in the primaries and especially the recall elections last summer was record-breaking turnout in close races. And this is an area where in the Democratic primary, the Faulk campaign has pointed to the potential for an organizational advantage through their union supporters to turn out the vote more for them. So I think we'll be watching to see how big the turnout is, as well as where the balance is between the leading contenders.
Our guest is Charles Franklin, visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, where he directs the Marquette Law School poll. We are talking about the latest poll results for the recall election, the primary and the general, and talking about the issues that are most important to voters. And we're wondering, what is the issue that's most important to you as you head to the polls tomorrow? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today: mostly cloudy with some partial clearing in the west. There is a slight chance of showers today with highs in the 50s and 60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the first Monday of the month, and that means Mondays with Mike. Usually our director, Mike Crane, is with us to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio, but Mike Crane has today off. So we will have Mike number two join us today. That's Mike Arnold, our brand new program director here at Wisconsin Public Radio, will be with us for Mondays with Mike, a special edition coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking recall politics with Charles Franklin, a visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. Tomorrow, of course, is the recall primary election. And we're talking about some of the latest poll results on that and other issues important to voters with this recall election. We do have a couple of callers, so let me take the calls, and we also have more to talk about. I wanted to ask you, Professor Franklin, and we'll get to it before the end of the program, whether or not we really are getting tired or sick of politics here in Wisconsin or recall politics. But let's go to Maddie in Wapaka first. Hello, Maddie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to say that I collected over 60 signatures to recall Governor Walker, but I feel frustrated when I hear the news media always refer to the collective bargaining issue. That was not the main issue for me. The main issues were the environment and taking health care away from poor people, especially children. And I wish the news media would always include that when they talk about the recall.
All right. Professor Franklin, what about that?
Well, I think that there's a variety of reasons that, the initial impetus certainly was the budget repair bill back in February. And that certainly drove a lot of organizing behind the recall, and surely was the motivation for a lot of people who participated. But there's a wide package of issues that voters are concerned about, and so it's certainly perfectly fine if people have a variety of concerns that are behind that. I think, finally, if you look at what we were just talking about, jobs, restoring civility or ending divisiveness, there are other things that people mention as high priorities as well. And we see a mix of issues, actually. If you go through a set of issues, there's some issues that lean in a Democratic direction. There's some issues that lean in a Republican direction. Obviously, some folks on the pro-recall side have a variety of concerns, including the ones Maddie's mentioned.
Let me ask you, with Kathleen Falk, former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk, being the candidate who has most of the union support behind her and told us that she was willing to veto a budget if it did not restore collective bargaining rights, the only candidate to do so. What it says to you as a political scientist that she is behind in these polls prior to the election tomorrow?
Well, I think there's not a single reason for any candidate to be ahead or behind in the polls. It's always a mix. We did ask Democratic primary voters if they favored or opposed that position, a veto of a budget. 39% favored that. We asked a position of a special session, which is one of the proposals Mayor Barrett has raised. That was supported by 52%. So there's some difference in support for those. But I think that, you know, to single out any single issue, any single attribute of candidates is probably oversimplifying how complex voters' preferences are about candidates.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Linda next in Washington County. Hello, Linda.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'll voice my concern and then I'll hang up. You know, I think this election has forced me to become a moderate. I think it's an all or nothing situation. I think it's come down to just an emotional vote in some cases, fear that those of us who have so much might lose some more, or fear that those of us who have what we have could lose some more. And then there's anger, I believe, from the disenfranchised and the poor that feel as if nobody is caring or hearing them. And that's kind of forced me into that moderate zone. I think there's no... You're swinging one way or the other. There's no one that seems to come out with some common sense in the middle. When I look to cut my household budget, I don't stop buying food and clothes altogether. I just become a little bit smarter, but I do budget for everything. And it just seems as if crime is on the rise. We're not giving the people who need the hand up in order to crawl their way into the middle class that aid that they need, and a dwindling middle class is not the healthiest thing for any society.
So, yeah. So what is motive? All right. Thanks very much, Linda. So she says this is forcing her. This election is forcing her to become a moderate.
I think actually this is a great point. I'm glad she brought this up. That you know, the parties have become polarized. The leadership of parties have polarized in whether it's Congress or in state legislatures. And activists are polarized because we feel passionate about things. But it does leave a very large swath of the public that have mixed feelings, that are capable of simultaneously agreeing with one party on some areas and the other party on the other. And as long as party discipline is so strict that there's no crossover within party leaderships, folks that actually represent a good chunk of the public that have these kinds of mixed feelings feel left out and unrepresented. And I think Linda did a good job of illustrating some of that those mixed feelings.
How divided are we in Wisconsin, or I should say, how sick are we of politics in Wisconsin?
Well, I don't know about sick. I think there's a real mix here. You know, we talked a lot about last summer in the run-up to the recalls that people were going to quit voting because they're just so tired of it. And yet we broke all turnout records. People said you couldn't get signatures. People got a lot of signatures. I think turnout in June, at least, is going to be record-breaking. We'll see. But when we asked people about their participation, we found it quite high. 58% said they talked with family or friends more than, at least once a week about politics. 50% said they had talked and tried to persuade others how to vote. 39% said they talked to coworkers at least once a week. Putting up yard signs, 26%. Giving money to campaigns, 20%. All of those are bigger than national numbers and show how engaged people
are. We are very engaged. We're not sick of politics, then.
I think we are very engaged and perhaps also a little sick. And it comes with a price. We also asked people if there was anyone they had quit talking to about politics because of disagreements over the recall. 29%, nearly a third, said that they had quit talking to someone about politics
because of the strife that it. Well, you know, we have less than a minute to go. Paul in Tomo wants to know who can vote tomorrow. Anybody can vote as long as they're eligible to vote.
That's correct. And with an open primary system, you don't have to vote in one party's primary. I mean, you don't have to be registered for a party. Sean Johnson did a good job in the last half hour on that. I will defer.
That's right. He was saying that you can vote on the Democratic primary, but you could vote for a Republican in another race. It's different that way for the recall that you can.
More complicated than the normal situation.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Charles Franklin, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Charles Franklin, visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. He will also be with us tomorrow night for our election night coverage starting at 8. This is the Ideas Network.